Let's turn our Bibles this morning to the book of Luke. Book of Luke in chapter 8. I want us to, we're going to preach a message here. Let him hear. Let him hear. And we're going to, maybe the let him hear this morning is, maybe you could say let me hear. Luke chapter 8, verse 5. So who's finding a place if you stand with me? As we honor God in the reading of His Word, Luke chapter 8 and verse 5. We're going to just kind of touch a little bit on last week because this is an ongoing message of the Lord, right? It's not, though we have to cut off because if I stayed here about 3 or 4 hours, I'd be here alone, right? Or I would be preaching to the top of heads because everybody would be sleeping. So we kind of break it up. So Luke chapter 8, verse 5, the Bible says, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. And the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it, and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprung up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let's pray together this morning. Father, we are thankful for your word. Lord, we're so thankful that you've given us, Lord, not just some ideas to figure out, but Lord, you have given us your word to instruct us, to guide us, Lord. We so desperately need your help. Father, Lord, I come this morning as a needy person, Lord. I need your power, your presence. And Lord, we need the Spirit of God to give us what we cannot get on our own. And Lord, I'm praying this morning that you would you'd give us ears to hear. Lord, help us to have hearts that are tender, that can receive your message. And Lord, I pray that you would do a work with us that would honor and glorify you. And Lord, we'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Jesus emphasized the need to hear. Okay. By the way, we're going to see this in this message this morning a lot, but I'm going to tell you what, throughout the Scriptures, while Jesus was walking on the earth, he emphasized this need to hear. And hear means more than just to be where the noise is at. Often, I am guilty in my family, as I'm sitting there, minding my own business, you know, either watching TV or doing something on my phone or studying or whatever I'm doing, people are talking and I ignore them unintentionally. Amen? Y'all with me this morning? Y'all, I don't think y'all are, because y'all ought to get that was a joke. That was kind of meant to be funny. So if I got to tell you it's a joke when it's a joke, I'm not doing good jokes, okay? So just, if you think it might be a joke, just go ahead and at least. So, and they'll say, and then they'll, I mean, this happens all the time. And then somebody will say something like, yeah, we talked about that. You're like, no, we didn't. Right? So you can be right in the midst of the conversation and not hear it. Right? So hearing it, can I tell you what hearing it requires, folks? I want to start this. I'm going to end with this too. But hearing requires you to want to know. If I was telling you, listen, I want to tell you this morning how you can get a free $100 bill today. Right? All of a sudden, we're listening up a free $100 bill. What if I said free $500 bills? Right? I know this place. There's a place. It's hidden out here on this property. I'm going to give you the instructions on how to go get $500. Y'all think, really? Probably not. But if I did, when we really want to receive the information, you know what we do? We kind of perk up a little bit. We kind of listen, tune in a little bit because, oh, that's something interesting that I really want to get, right? So that's what hearing means. It means more than being in the place. And I don't know, and some people are like, you know, I'm got my eyes closed and I've got, but I'm listening. Yeah, I do that too. And then I wake up. You know what I'm saying? You know, and anyway, Jesus emphasized the need to hear. Look at verse 9 here. He says, "And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." So, those that, watch this, will not hear the gospel. Okay, wait. We know here that they all heard it. So how can he say they didn't hear it? Well, we're talking about to hear it, right? Those that will not hear the gospel will not understand the truths of the Word of God. Grab this, folks. And I talked about this last week, but I want us to grab this, folks, this truth here, folks, right here. This is so important. Those that will not hear the gospel, listen to me here. Grab this. Put this in our hearts and understand this. People that will not hear the gospel will not understand the truths of the Word of God. Don't think we can help them to be good Christians if they're not got saved. Now, we can help them to grow up a little bit. And by the way, we ought to. We can help them learn how to, you know, I think kids ought to learn how to obey in church. I think they ought to learn to how to behave themselves in the house of God. I think that's important. But a 4, 5, 6 year old, they probably don't understand all that's being said here. Right? Probably barely any of it. But a 5 year old that's learned how to sit up and pay attention, you're like, so was that a good message? Yeah, that part, that one joke the pastor said, it was kind of funny. A 5 year old, they might not even get it, because they're but you know what, a kid that's learned how to sit there and pay attention at 5, by 8 or 9, they've learned how to receive something. But one that didn't as 5, they're probably not going to as 6, and they're probably not going to as 8, and they're probably not going to as 12, and they're probably not going to as they're 20, and then after that, they're not coming back. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. When I'm saying they that will not hear the gospel will not understand the truth, doesn't mean there ought not be some process in that way. But what I am saying is this here. Somebody that will not understand the gospel will not understand the wisdom of God. It won't work for them. It won't make any sense. You know, folks come for counsel, they want marriage counsel, and they're not saved. Come on. I'll do some marriage counsel for folks who aren't saved. You know what my marriage counsel is going to be? Romans Road, right along there. And when the gospel comes, and I'm going to go beyond that, but I'm just saying, you know, if somebody won't get saved, none of the other things of Christianity is going to have any effect on them, because they won't understand, won't make any sense to them. It begins with hearing. But many will not hear. Many will not hear. But in spite of this, the Word of God must continue anyway. This can be a frustrating thing, because we already know few there be that find it. Right? Few there be that find it, which means few are actually going to receive it. Many there be that go in there at, which means most, many, will not hear it. So what's the point? Well, because you don't know who the few are. You know, when I got saved, nobody would have thought I was one of the few. And maybe you're the same way. When the gospel came to you, maybe you weren't one that seemed to be the few. What does the ground, we don't even know. We don't even know. So we see this, the gospel, the Word of God must continue to be given to man. So number one is this, what do we do with light? What do we do with light? Look over in verse 16 with me now. Bible says here in verse 16, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. So, the Lord gives here a very obvious lesson here. Okay, some of his lessons are a little more complicated. Some are so obvious, it's kind of, you know, it's so obvious here that it's actually stated that no man would do this. Nobody would do this. It doesn't say very few would do this. Nobody would do this. No one goes to the trouble of lighting a candle. By the way, they didn't go light a candle with their Bic lighter. Right? They didn't have one of these things that we got now that has this long... You got to do like 20 times still because they don't work out. You know what I'm saying? But nobody... They didn't do that. They had to go and put rocks... No, I don't know. They probably had some flint. Anything. But you go and light the candle. You don't light a candle. Nobody would go the trouble of lighting a candle for the purpose of... By the way, back then... They weren't just smell good candles. I know it's hard to believe. They used candles that didn't have any smell with them, right? It was just wax. That's a modern thing. We got too much time to spend, so we find smell good things. They didn't go light. They lit that candle for a very distinct purpose. If they lit it, it was so that there would be light. So there'd be light. So you didn't go get, let's go burn the wax, right? It was a commodity that you would. And so once you you didn't go light it and then put a vessel over it. What do you think about my light? What's wrong with you? Right? Nobody would do that. That's the point. That'd be absolutely pointless for anyone to do. No one in their right mind is going to go light something unless they're just wasting time. In this day, you didn't waste commodities. People just didn't do that. put it under a bed. Now, I can't tell you how much time I spent researching this. Why did Jesus say a bed? I'm thinking, I read all these different people, nobody talks about the bed. Why did Jesus say the bed? I'm thinking, I'm not sure why that would be the other object. I mean, I can think of a lot of other objects. He said, you don't put a vessel or a bed. You know what I'm saying? Doesn't that seem weird to you? Sometimes, like, no, it's just normal because we've read that so many times. But that's the kind of things why did he say a bed? Why did Jesus say, you know, you don't put a vessel on it or put it under a bed? Why not a chair? Why not I don't know. Maybe you don't think that way. I do, and that's why we get these kind of messages. So I'm not sure why that's the only idea I came up with, and nobody speaks of it, maybe because nobody thinks like I do. Sometimes we just, all right, whatever. And maybe, by the way, when you're done, it's like, that's why nobody else thought about it. Okay, maybe. So the only idea I can come up with is that something that we don't realize in our world today that I've had the, I don't know if we call it an advantage, but I've had the opportunity to be in homes in third world country. When we would start visiting people in villages, in some of these places, tea estates, where people are making the lowest of the people, we would go by, and you walk into one of those homes. By the way, they didn't have beds. They had a mat rolled up, and it was in a corner. And the rest of the house, this platform would be bigger than some of their homes. And you'd find in one place they'd have a table, and that's what they cooked on, or if they cooked outside. They'd have nothing in there. Sometimes they'd have almost nothing. And so I got thinking about that, and maybe in this reason, why would a bed be the idea? I don't really know. I'm going to give you that answer now. I don't know. The only thing I thought about is that there would be very little in that home other than maybe cooking instruments or a bed. Now, they didn't use rolled up. They actually used beds, we find, sometimes. So maybe it could have been the only other thing that could be thought of to hide put a candle under is hiding a candle. It's like people would... Because what Jesus is trying to do with parables is get an idea that people can relate to. Possibly it's simply this. The idea is that you simply don't put anything over it and you don't put it under anything. Maybe it's simpler like that, but to the point is this. No one would light it and then hide it. And neither would Jesus. Well, look here. Here's the point. No one would light a candle and then hide it. Right? Neither would Jesus. So some have got this idea, and maybe the apostles have got this idea, well, this is confusing. How can anybody receive this? He says at other places, it's Jesus didn't bring the light of the gospel to hide it. You understand? He didn't bring the light so into the world so that he could hide it from those that absolutely needed it. Listen, so what he's saying here is that he didn't say, I brought the gospel, but I'm only going to give it to you people that understand it. The rest of them, I'm going to hide it from them. No, folks, that's not. The parable wasn't a way to hide the gospel. It was a way to try to make it understandable. To make it relatable in a way that the truth might penetrate the heart. It was a way for them to hear it. See, this was the purpose of giving it in this parable. The word parable itself means to cast alongside or to place one thing beside another. We know of that. We maybe are familiar with this word sometimes they talk about organizations that are para-church. They say it comes alongside the church and some of these other things. But parable means something that comes alongside. It's a story that comes alongside. It's a story that teaches something new by putting the truth alongside something familiar. Okay? By something familiar. So the people of that day would have understood the concept of seeds and soil. Right? I mean, it was a farming generation. Everybody understood seeds and soil and how that worked. So the previous parable may cause them to understand the message, right? But those that were indifferent, are those that came because it was the place to come. They came because everybody else was coming there. They came there because this is what a good person does. They follow the crowd and they go sit where church people are supposed to sit. Right? Do you ever just feel guilty? Do you ever feel guilty when you're not able to come to church? Like you're sick and not feeling good or something happened, your car broke down, whatever, and you're like, oh man, I should be there. So we can sometimes feel like I'm supposed to be there. And so some people come, they're indifferent. They're not there because they want to hear. They're there because they're supposed to be. But they're actually indifferent to the message. Or some people are there, and the issue, we find this many times in the scripture, they're too proud to examine themselves. And so when the message began, and we find this with Jesus many times, when the message began to be clear, watch this, the people that hadn't received the Lord, when the message became clear is, you are actually talking about me. You ever felt like the preacher was stepping on your toes? It's like, he knows me. He's preaching. He's talking about me. I've had people say this many times afterwards. Say, you know, not they don't say it to me often, but somebody will say it to somebody, you know, the preacher, I think he was talking just to me. Man, that's a blessing. I think it's a wonderful thing when you can realize that the Word of God is for you. Amen? Some people are like, that's a good message, preacher. I'm like, how did you think that was a good message? That should have like... You know, you're like, you should be bleeding out of sin and guilt. But you're like, yeah, it was good. It was good. You're like, man, I was preaching on your sin. Not on purpose, but... And so, you know what it's... They were indifferent. And some people, they walk out just silent. It's like, I can't get to that door fast enough. You know what I mean? And so, and some people get angry. And we find this with the Pharisees a lot, the scribes, the chief priests are like, you know, he's talking about us. And they get angry. And so they want to kill him. I try to stop short of that point. So they would reject the parable message altogether. So Jesus used parables not to hide his truth, but to help those who were spiritually dead. To have an occasion to hear it. Look at verse 16 again at the end. He says that they, at the very end of it, says that they which enter in may see the light. So all that get the opportunity to be around Jesus may be able to see the light of the truth of the gospel. Look at verse 17 now. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest. Neither is anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. So, look here. The light is not hid. Okay? Instead of it being under a bed, or instead of a vessel being put on, no. You know instead what it's done? It's put on a candlestick. It's elevated. You know what's right? It's the stick is maybe, you don't put a candlestick down here. Right? That wouldn't make no sense. Now you put a candlestick often on the wall so it shines, or you put it in the middle. It's a high stick. So see the picture Jesus is given? He's given this picture. We don't do that. And you're like, yeah, we don't do that. He says it's meant to be put up here. It's meant to see. It's not hid. It's up there. It's not under a vessel, not under a bed. It's lifted up high. And the candlestick, it's put on the candlestick, and it reveals all. It's the purpose of it, isn't it? It's the purpose of light. The light not only shows us the way of the gospel. Watch this. Listen to me here, folks. The light doesn't just reveal the way of the gospel. You know what else it reveals? The need of the gospel. You know, we say this many times, you got to get them lost before you can get them saved. And what we mean by that, you know, some of these little phraseologies we use so much that it kind of becomes kind of weird. But the point is, what we're saying is somebody needs to see that the light has to first show you that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. Now, I think I'm fine. I'm good. Me and God are good. No. What we got to see, the light of the gospel shows on you none are good. No, not one. So then once the light has revealed that, man, now it shows the way. And so it reveals that many may think they're hiding. They may think the secret of their heart is hidden. But one day it'll be made manifest. If I wonder what it would change if I had a camera up here that videoed the congregation and there was a screen here that showed you. If it showed you and how you're listening, hearing, how would you, it would reveal it to you. And some of y'all are like, man, I'd find a way to sit outside of that. Right? You know what I'm saying? I mean, because I'm just saying, hey, listen, we think it's hidden. We think what's in our heart. Well, you know, listen, what's in our heart comes out in our life. You think here's what happens. The light, by the way, what I'm saying there, I'm not talking about that is what the Word does, is hiding. I'm talking about sometimes reveal, but this is what the Word of God does to you and I. It reveals us. The light reveals it. As a matter of fact, the light's already revealing it. Even though we think we're hiding it. You ever do that? You try to put on that right face, and then you're like, and then the preacher says something like I just said, and you're like, is he talking about me? Are we trying to change our face? You know what I'm saying? I hate that stuff. Because then it's like you feel like this weight is on. By the way, I'm not talking to any in particular. If the Word of God, though, speaks to you, you know what's happening? The light is lighting you. Amen. Isn't that exciting? You know what that says? God is speaking to you because He's interested in you. Isn't that awesome? That God would just tune in and say, you know what, all these people are, forget them. I'm just going to talk to you today. The message is all for you. And you're like, wow. And then you ever feel like everybody's staring at you, like right now, Kayla? You feel like everybody's looking at you. But you know, you ever feel like that? Like, man, God is speaking to me, and you're thinking, does everybody know this? Right? It doesn't actually work like that because everybody else isn't attuned. But I'm going to tell you what. God, even right now, the light of His Word is doing its work of revealing something in you. He's beginning to do that. But nothing is secret that shall be not be made manifest. And He says this, nor is anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. It's come out. So this was the purpose of the parable. And the sower, and the seed, and the ground. See, He talks about what was going on. The believer, the child of God, is made manifest. Not by being, listen, in the presence of the seed. Watch this. We don't... What God's trying to get a hold of our life, and He's trying to reveal to you and I, listen, and I say this to a lot of things, but these are all the important things I'm saying, which is everything. What God really wants to reveal to you doesn't get revealed just because you're here this morning. I don't know what's going on. I'm going to church all the time. I've been going to church since I was 2 years old, right? I've been going since before I was born. In my mother's womb, I've been coming to church. I've been coming to church, but still it just feels like I'm far from God. It just doesn't feel like, you know, I don't. And we can be there. We can think sometimes. Because how many people talk about, you know, are you a Christian? Yeah, I've been in church all my life. That's their answer to, have you ever been saved? Yeah, I've been in church all my life. Well, that's not the question. You know, I could live in a garage all my life and it's not going to make me a car. Now, I know you've heard that one before, but I'm just saying the point is, listen, we don't get revealed because we're in the presence of the seed. You understand? It's not how that works. It doesn't become made manifest to me because I'm in the presence of the seed, but by what we do with the seed of the Word of God. Look again at verse 15. He says, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. So here's what he said. They talk about those, the good ground. The good ground is those that receive the truth, right? They receive it. So here's what they do. They keep it. Really what that means, it means to follow it. It means to live by it. And live by the Word of God and they bring forth fruit. Listen, it's not just to be in the midst of it. It means to receive it. It means to hear it, to receive it and to follow it. By the way, following isn't just being at church. Matter of fact, this isn't the place that we follow. This is the place we get equipped to go follow. You understand? This is where we come to be refueled, reinvigorated, to be exhorted, to be taught, to be encouraged to go follow. So when you get to those other places, you do follow. So I don't need to come to church then. No, just to the contrary. The Lord actually says we need to be here. And don't think we can do this without Him. We need this. So those that receive the seed, the Word of God, produce fruit. And that's the message of the parable. That's the message. Look at verse 18. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. So number two is this. And there's only 2 points this morning. Y'all feel it? Make you feel better. Number two is this. Take heed. Which means pay attention. When we have the occasion to hear the Word of God, be careful in your hearing. When you have the opportunity to hear the Word of God, listen, Take heed, therefore. Take heed how you hear is what he says there. To have the word of God in our presence and to treat it, watch this, and to treat it as something that we would cover or hide. Well, watch this. To have the word of God, the seed, the truth of the word of God come in our presence and we hide it, cover it or hide it. Can I say this? It really is this. It is to reject it. And it's to not hear it. It's to not hear it. So, you've heard me say this, and I'm going to say it many times, I suppose, through the course of the years, but if you have a best friend, a BFF, we've been best friends since I was a kid. I've been best friends for, 6 months. I don't care, 3 weeks, whatever. They're your best friend. And you cannot sit here this morning and give a testimony, an account of their testimony of salvation, you're a terrible friend. Let that light reveal something a little bit. That's kind of like, who do you think you are? Well, I don't think I'm anybody. But here's the fact, is if we have the light of the gospel, this is the light of mine, right? That's kind of how we do it, this song, this verse here. But here's what it means. If you've got the light and we cover it, we hide it. What we've done is, the parable is teaching us this. What we've done is we've rejected it. When we hear something preached and we don't hear it, receive it, follow it, live it, then we have rejected it. Listen. The Word of God's not always super exciting. It's not always super exciting. Like, yes, it is. It's super great. Then why is it hard for you to stay awake sometimes? Okay, let me rephrase it. Why is it hard for all of us to stay awake sometimes? Well, not me, because I'm the one. But when I'm down there, it is hard because it's not always super exciting. And I try to make it super exciting. I try to jump around and move around and tell stories and jokes that y'all miss. But I try to do, because you know what I want to do? I want to say it in a way that folks will kind of like come alongside and get it and grab a hold of it. Because at the end of the day, we're in a different culture than Jesus was. Jesus was in a culture they didn't have, 1,000 channels to switch from. Plus live streaming. They didn't even need channels. They didn't have, they only had like 2 or 3. No. Didn't have any. You know what they had? Oh, what's going on? Let's go out on the hillside and listen to this guy. You know what else they were going to do between that? That and nothing. We see them falling on the hillside. They weren't all super excited. They were just like, hey, there's something going on. That's why when Jesus came into Jerusalem, they come and all of a sudden everybody's like, woo, Hosanna in the highest. This is great. Everybody's like, what are we doing? I don't know. Later on, they were shouting to kill him. Crucify him. Who? That guy. Which guy? The one we before were saying Hosanna about. They didn't know. They were just, what are we doing? I mean, it's crowds. See, this is what people did. We don't do that no more. It's a different culture. You watch one of those old movies like from the 50s, and they're like, they got this one scene, and the one camera, and it goes for like 20 minutes. I'm exaggerating maybe. I don't know. Like 20 minutes. You know today, the amount of cameras, I think it's 2 seconds. I think 2 seconds is as long as they want one camera angle. You know why? Because our minds, our culture today won't sit there and listen to it. We'll lose engagement. So what does that speak to of us in church? By the way, that's not me accusing you. I'm just saying that's the culture we live in. So, I mean, I'm way off track here, but I just want to say that's why it's important for us to prepare a little bit more than we would. We can't treat Sunday as just an event we go to. We got to treat it as something. I'm going for training, by the way, that I want. You ever done training that you didn't want? You're like, this is stupid. I hate this. I'm going to go there, and they're going to say, blah, 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 and you're like, oh, I hate this. If that's how you treat this, we're going to sleep through it. You're going to scroll during it. I've seen people in church playing Candy Crush during church. Oh, yeah. I've watched them. They were doing pretty good. I guess. I don't. But I seen another lady, she would always read a book during church. And she said, well, I'm ADHD. I have to have, Anyway, I've got to have something else to keep my mind. Listen, folks, we've got to be prepared to receive what we're going to. Take heed. What does it say there in verse 18? Take heed, therefore. What's that next word? How ye hear. It's not always super exciting, folks. I wish it could be. But can I tell you this? It's always light. And sometimes things that are boring and dull and kind of strange and kind of... Later on, the Spirit of God will use that very thing to use to recall some truth from it. Man, it becomes a wonderful thing. But hearing is what gives us the opportunity to receive Christ and become a child of God. But there is one that seemeth to have something. It says there in verse 18 again, he says, take heed therefore how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. In other words, they think they have something. Jesus said there's some people that they think they have something. And if Jesus says they think they have something, they seemeth to have something, you know what that means? They don't. That's what he's saying. That's why he's even mentioned that. He said, well, they may not have it. Jesus never says they may not. He knows what's going to happen. He knows. The inference here is that they think they're already a child of God. But should they not hear the Word of God, they will lose even what they thought they had. Wait a minute. Sometimes Scripture can get a little confusing. So how are they going to lose it if they never had it? Okay. You're like, wow, this just, we've got to drill down on some of this. How do we lose what we don't have? So they think they had it. They think they have a relationship with God. They think they're walking with God. They think they're doing the things of God, right? They think they're going down this road. They think I'm doing pretty good. And they think I understand these things of God. And Jesus says they think that they have it. They seem to have it. He said what's going to be taken away from them is even their ability to understand from going down this road and being in the presence, they're going to lose that. And those that have received it already, they're going to get some more. You know, we call this Christian growth. Why does somebody that seems like they're growing, seems like they sprung up, we looked at that last week, they seems like they sprung up, but then all of a sudden, phew, they're gone. Or they come and they don't get anything. It's just what Jesus is saying right here. They seemeth to have it. They think because this is gone, but that's going to be taken away from them. So this was often the case with the Pharisees. They thought they were already set to enter heaven because of their birthright. Right? The Pharisees figured, oh, we're Jews. We're in. We're God's chosen people. We're in. Right? I'm sure nobody today would say, you know, tell me about when you got saved. Well, I've always been saved. My family's saved. You know, there's people that would say, because of my parents, I'm saved. You say, is there people that said that? I've heard them say it. They believe it. The Pharisees did the same thing. But Jesus clearly stated to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, that you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. You must be born again. Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, right? And he came and Jesus said to him, you must be born again. Nobody gets a free pass into salvation. Nobody. Well, I've been to church a lot. There's no amount. Listen, folks, this isn't karma. This isn't good works. We build up enough stuff and we got our scale weighs one side or the other. Man, we did it. I finally did that last thing that tipped the balance. Man, wake up in the morning. If that was even possible, you're not going to, I mean, man alive, would you want to live that life? You know, all it took is just a few bad days and you're back to square one again. Man, I'd hate that. What a mess. Imagine getting angry at somebody. It's like you murdered them. And then you said some things that you shouldn't. And then maybe you lied. And then you bared false witness about it. And then you kind of got some filthy communication. By the time you're done, you've put yourself like, you know, you broke 5 of the 10 commandments. You're done. Right? How are you ever going to balance that out? It doesn't work like that, by the way. Here's what the Pharisees, they thought they were in, but Jesus says, you know, as a matter of fact, the Lord said you couldn't even see the kingdom of God, he said in John 3:3, in that area. You couldn't even see the kingdom of God, which means this, you couldn't even have the ability to understand it. And so Jesus said, how can a man be born again? Does he go a second time into his mother's womb? That's what Nicodemus said. And Jesus had to explain that which is spirit, and that which is flesh. You know what? He couldn't even understand it. That's what he's talking about. He couldn't even see it. So the next interaction we find here demonstrates this great need to hear. This is exactly what the Lord was attempting to tell these folks. And now it's going to get to be demonstrated, a case in point. Look at verse 19 now. We're still in Luke chapter 8. Verse 19. Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. And it was told him by certain which said, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee. And he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these, watch, which, what's that word? Hear the word of God and... Look, this wasn't a slight to his mother or to his brethren. It wasn't like, them. Who's my mother? Sometimes we can read it like that. Your mother and your brethren want to see you. And it wasn't like, I don't think that's it was a case in point for him to reveal this. It was the reflection back to what he had been saying, what he'd been talking about. Though we're given an occasion to receive the truth of the Word of God, there must be two things for it to be effective in our lives. Number one, first, we must hear it. And I don't mean be in the room with it, but hear its message. Some people come to church, I mentioned that sit in the presence of the Word of God, but never really hear it. You say, man, am I doing that? If you're here right now, right at this very moment, and you're thinking, do I do that? Amen. It'd be great if you're sitting here right now and thinking, is that me? Because you know what we sung a little bit earlier? What King David talked about? Search me, O God. And so we begin to look at that. And if you're thinking, do I do that? Why don't you do this? When you leave today, think about what the message in Sunday school was. What the message here? What is God talking to me about? Write notes down. You think, man, sometimes you walk out and you're like, I've been at a restaurant and another preacher goes, hey, what'd you preach about this morning? The Bible. Is that Jesus and stuff? You know, we could do that. Now, if I think about it a little bit, you know, having series helps me because I'm like, yeah, here's where we're at. Put some notes down to let God, give God the opportunity to do something in your life. It's not enough to just be here. To hear it is to let its message actually resonate with us. And it's really this, it's to allow its truth to change me. It's really what it's about. But the second thing is not to just hear it. The second thing, it leads us to the second thing what Jesus said is this. He said, and do it. Okay, it's not enough to know that we need what the truth revealed. It's not enough. It's not enough to know that we need it. Listen, the light of the gospel reveals to us that we need to be saved. It's not enough, right? It's not enough. It takes more than that. We must do it, which really means this: we must respond to it. So when we realize I'm a sinner, I'm lost without Christ, I've never had a time in my life that I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I've never really trusted Him. I've kind of thought I was a Christian my whole life, but I've never really left me and put my trust in Him. And by the way, it's not just some action or some prayer. It's really a decision in our life that says, I'm going to follow Him. He is Lord, be his master, and I want to confess that. I'm going to let my light shine. But then to realize that and do nothing about it, that's not salvation, right? To respond to it. That is who Jesus said was my mother and my brethren. That who is the family of God. Those that hear and do what the Father has given. That's what he says right here. Well, are you saying work salvation? I'm just saying what Jesus said. I'm saying what Jesus said. You're like, well, I'm not sure if I agree with that. Well, then you can take it up with the Lord, maybe. If you're saved, you can take it up with him. If you're not saved, you ain't got nothing to take up with him. Okay. Conclusion. Now, that'll wake some folk up right there. That's the Baptist wake-up word. It's like the waking up salt's conclusion. So the thing about parables is they're a story to give us a message. There's a message in the seed and the sower for all of us each time the Word of God is presented. Okay, so this every time we hear the Word of God, listen, we have to realize this. Am I the soil to receive not just salvation, but to receive the message? Is your heart too hard to receive the truth today? Is it too rocky to receive, meaning it doesn't connect you to the Lord, only an emotional interest that cannot last? Or is your heart too stony, that your life is too full of the things of this world to have any place for the Word of God to really make a difference in your life, to find its way in? Or is your heart ready to receive it? Right? To keep it, to do it, which only comes with His help. It's really to say, God, I can't do this on my own, but I want this. Maybe you're here today and you've never had a time in your life that you could point to where you were born again. So there was never a time in my life where I was born again. Well, will today be the day that you hear it and let it change you? Brethren, look here. Will you hear the light of the Word of God today and let it reveal something in you? Then respond to it and do it. Let's all stand together. Father, I do pray that you'd help us. Lord, we so desperately need your presence. Lord, we need your power. We need your understanding. And Lord, even this morning, Lord, we might just confess that we need to be able to hear. And Lord, so often our lives get so busy, so many cares, so many burdens, so many things that fill up our lives, so many things and engagements and all of these things that can, Lord, it's so challenging for us in our generation. Yet, Lord, today we're asking you to do something in our heart this year that would cause us to be someone that has that heart that's been prepared, a ground that's been tilled and softened so that your word might make a difference in us. Lord, I pray that you do that in my heart. Lord, that even as I prepare and I preach and I present it, Lord, that Lord, help me to be what I need to be. Listen, if God has spoken to your heart this morning, maybe you need to be saved. Maybe you'd say, you know, my need, I've realized it today. I've never really been saved. There's never been a time in my life where I've turned to faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If you're like that this morning, you could come, and today could be the day of your salvation. Maybe you're here this morning, you just say, you know, I just want to be that good ground that's constantly ready for God to speak to me. Come, today is this. Come to the altar. Come and tell God, help me with that.